1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. Hope you are having a great weekend and a great holiday season. Hope to see a lot of you out at the Pensacola Christmas Parade this afternoon if you're listening live on Saturday. We're going to be rolling on the Pensacon float. The parade starts at 5:30 p.m. today on Saturday. Of course, News Radio 92.3 and our sister station Cat Country will also be participating in the parade. So make sure you wave at Andrew McKay and Brent Lane and everybody else from the stations as they go past as well, and then wave at me on the Pensacon float. But whether you're listening live on Saturday or you listen to the podcast version of this show, which you can get anytime, anywhere, wherever you get your podcast, you can listen to the show on demand anytime. We hope to bring you up to date with everything that's going on in entertainment, pop culture, and make your life just a little bit better. And my co-host Jeremy Branch is here to do that with me. Jeremy, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Some of it's going to be things that we're excited about. Some of them are going to be things that are causing me existential dread, but we will circle back around to that. Julio, because, thanks for having me.
Because what says the joy of the holiday season like existential dread? I mean, you know, in fairness, and this is a little bit of a tangent, but they're putting aside whatever else is going on in the world right now. There are a lot of people that have a lot of existential dread at the holidays, and it sucks to have to think about that, but it's true. So, you know, I guess it's still appropriate.
And we're here for you. Absolutely. Some folks, the holidays can feel a little bit lonely for. Maybe your family's no longer with you. Maybe they're not here in the same area as you, but can always tune in and see what we're up to week after week. Like Julio said, you can check us out on Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts, or make sure to be checking us out. Turn that dial to 92.3 and AM 1620.
And if you are looking just for more of a, you know, the joyful spirit of the holiday type thing, first of all, like I said, come out to the Christmas parade tonight, because that will absolutely be raw, unfiltered holiday joy. It's going to be lots of fun. But next week's show, we're going to do our Christmas show, and that will be more focused on, you know, the spirit of the holidays, and, you know, the kind of happy Christmas stuff that we all love, the happy holiday stuff that we all love.
That's right. So,
you know, you got that coming. This week, we're going to actually be focused more on things that are in the entertainment news right now, because weirdly, usually by this time of year, like, the entertainment industry is slowing down, and there's not a ton of stuff. There's some big movie releases, and there will be some big movie releases. But, and, you know, of course, we'll have Stranger Things coming up with the big finale, and there is some big programming type stuff, but, like, the news usually slows down this time of year, because in another week or so, Hollywood's going to shut down until after the first of the year. It just does. Like a lot of industries do. You know, a lot of industries just literally don't even do business the last 2 weeks of the year. But weirdly, December has been very active this year. And, of course, we did a whole show last week about the biggest active news in media right now, which is Warner Brothers being sold. And when we did the show last week, it looked like that it was a done deal that Warner Brothers is going to be sold to Netflix, you know, barring any kind of regulatory hurdles or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I want to point out one thing that we did last week when we were trying to determine how many major studios there were still left, and I was saying to both myself and Jeremy, I know there's one more. Why can't I think of it? Yeah, that was a little company called Sony.
Heard of
them. Yeah, you might have heard of them. They make, you know, they make some electronics and a whole lot of movies and TV and, you know, things like the Spider-Verse films and, you know.
K-pop Demon Hunters?
Yeah, little company you might have heard of. So, yeah, that was my my brain fog last week. We'll see what kind of brain fog I run into this week. But the brain fog,
I'm sure that will not happen this week.
Oh no, not at all, not whatsoever. But the follow up on that is a couple of days after we recorded that show, Paramount, who had been in the running to buy Netflix, and their bid was not chosen, run to buy Warner Brothers. You see, you said I wasn't going to happen this week, and of course it happens right away. In the running to buy Warner Brothers, and their bid was not accepted, decided to execute a hostile takeover bid. So
love that.
this is not a done deal at this point. I mean, the Warner Brothers is the official offer, but Netflix, or it's such an alphabet soup. Paramount is going directly to the shareholders and trying to do an end run around the Warner Brothers board to buy the entirety of Warner Brothers, not just the studio and streaming side that Netflix is buying.
Which would make it a tidy deal. I could see how that is appealing on paper. Julio, you and I both kind of circled around antitrust and the concerns there. I do want to say it's not really for me, and I am speaking on behalf of consumers. I don't think there's a best case scenario in if any of these companies buy it, but it is happening and it is inevitable. So, like, this is the cards that were dealt. Do you have a preference on which side it kind of comes out on?
I think both are consolidation that could be unhealthy for consumers. Mm-hmm. However, I think the Paramount consolidation would be more devastating than the Netflix would. I think it's larger. I think it puts more power into the hands of one group than even just the Netflix Warner Brothers one does.
Yeah.
As much as we are over, kind of disregarding broadcast and cable right now, that's a huge factor here. And it may be that, you know, the intention right now is for the Discovery Group with all the TV channels to be spun off into its own company. But I don't think any of us expect that that's not going to eventually be sold to someone. And maybe that someone is Paramount. But I think, even if we can stave that off for a little while, I think at the risk of getting political for a moment here, there's a big factor that people aren't considering here, and that is CNN.
Yeah.
CNN is part of all this family that would not go with Netflix. It would be spun off into the separate TV entity, which is probably going to be called Discovery Global. Let's just say that the current ownership of Paramount has the ear of a certain faction of the government right now. They are kind of the government's best boys. They've given a whole lot of money to certain people that are in power right now. And certain people that are in power right now do not like the independence of CNN. And I don't want to take it any further than that. This is not a political show. We're not going to get in depth on that, but that is a factor.
Did you know that CNN recently signed a deal with one of those online betting companies to now there's going to be a live ticker going across all of CNN's broadcasting that gives people the odds for betting on various news stories?
No, but that's disgusting.
It's disgusting. We are living in clown world. But yeah, just wanted to throw that out there because I do feel it ties into a lot of the theme of this week's show, and that is that there are a lot of things happening at very high levels with these corporations that I think are going to be a net negative.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just said that, and it just the whole betting line thing, it just put me in the mind of I've grown up watching a lot of dystopian science fiction, reading a lot of dystopian science fiction, and a lot of satirical dystopian stuff, especially. And at some point did Paul Verhoeven start directing reality?
Oh, you're not kidding. Tell the folks at home.
I mean, this feels like some kind of mix between RoboCop and Starship Troopers.
It really does.
I mean, it's like when you said that, I hadn't heard that betting line thing. I'm literally reacting to that live. That's just scary. There's so many ways that can be corrupted.
Yeah, like if you have a vested interest in whether or not some catastrophe happens, let's hope nobody puts their finger on the scales.
Yeah, I mean, the sports betting is one thing, but yeah, that really freaks me out, man. That really, again, you know, we want to talk about the existential dread of the holiday season. You may have just put some in me that I didn't know I had in me.
It feels like an Onion article.
Yeah. So does that get better or worse if Paramount gains control?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I don't have the answers to that, but this story is to be continued. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. We'll be right back.
She's a black belt in karate. Working for the city. She has to discipline her body. Cause she knows that it's demand.
Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. My co-host, Jeremy Branch, is on the line with us. And Jeremy, the evil robots got a leg up this week.
It seems like it.
And we need a Yoshimi right now, big time. We're talking about... I know it's a controversial issue to talk about AI and what AI is doing to our world and whether it's a force for good or a force for evil. And I think it can be both, but I do think it is currently being employed primarily as a force of evil and primarily as a force to cheat artists out of a living, basically.
And yeah, before we put too fine a point on it, I totally agree with what you're saying. I think that who is the most vested in this are the people at the very, very top, and the reasons why are inherently bad for the people who aren't.
Yeah, well, and so, you know, in the course of all this conversation, the Hollywood studios have kind of overall been coming down on the side of art. You know, they have been sending cease and desist notices. You can't use our copyrighted material. You can't, you know, et cetera, to train AI to then be able to regurgitate whatever it is you want it to regurgitate. Until this week.
It wasn't a big studio that people like revere highly, was it?
I mean, you know, it could only be like the happiest place on earth.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Disney this week announced cutting a deal with, is it Sora? Is that the name of the company?
Yeah. It's OpenAI, ChatGPT, Sora. It's Sam Altman.
To allow them to use their characters and their copyrighted materials to... you know, be created in AI, and they're going to feature AI creations by quote unquote fans, I guess, on Disney Plus.
I can't wait to see how this enriches our lives.
Now they have said that they're not going to allow them to use the likenesses of actors. You know, they're not going to have like live action type stuff. They can't use the voice performances, things like that. But, you know, anybody is going to be able to put together their own, you know, Star Wars cartoon or Spider-Man cartoon or Mickey Mouse cartoon.
So let me try to fill in the blanks as far as the specifics, and please correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Bob Iger, CEO of Disney, signed a deal with Sora that licensed around 200 characters. As you said, Julio, they're not allowed to use the likeness of Robert Downey Jr. when they're rendering Iron Man, just for example. But you can apply that to every character that would be in a mask versus portrayed by a person.
Right.
In addition to that, Iger and Disney invested $1 billion into Sora and has also... agreed to basically implement it to all Disney employees to where everybody's going to be able or encouraged to use ChatGPT now. And the goal is to have users, like you said, Julio, fans, create content, short-form Sora videos that can then be curated by someone and then uploaded to Disney Plus. So if you, as a Disney Plus subscriber, want to see slop content of Bart Simpson hanging out with Ariel, you can go to a separate feed on Disney Plus and watch these new quote-unquote short films.
So how long before they decide to start making entire features that way and just cutting out the entire creative community?
Yeah, and to your point, okay, great, they're not using Robert Downey Jr.'s likeness. Some concept artists created the on-screen version of Iron Man that we see that these models are being trained on. Like, they are literally cannibalizing from the creators through the history of Disney. You know, we've singled out Marvel a couple times, but we're talking about Pixar, Disney, Star Wars, these beloved franchises that
Alien,
were created
Predator,
by real
Buffy
human
the
beings.
Vampire Slayer. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
The
Rocky Horror Picture Show. I mean, Disney owns a lot of stuff. Yeah, you got to remember they bought up 20s.
Does Iger get some sort of kickback when they train these models on the Xenomorphs? I mean, obviously the answer is no, and I just feel like that's incredibly unethical. And there's something about being a person who grew up in the era when we did, where like I've always had a sentimental connection with Disney, and this has kind of broken me, Julio.
Yeah, well, I have seen some people make the suggestion, and I kind of don't disagree with the suggestion that the way to defeat this is to fight fire with fire. It is to use these programs to create the most disgusting and raunchy Disney content possible to embarrass the company into canceling the deal.
You know how precious Walt was about Mickey Mouse?
Oh yeah, I mean they used to sue the creators of the Tijuana Bibles, you know, because you had these underground pornographic comics that were made in the 50s and 60s that, you know, that's what they called them, were Tijuana Bibles. They were, they'd go after the people that did this. You know, they'd go after, you know, and the company is still obviously very litigious. In fact, just yesterday they sent Google a cease and desist about
Midjourney, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a favored nation status or something, but you know, it seems hypocritical.
But not only that, I mean, obviously the Rule 34 stuff is worth considering, but like they created Daffy Duck so that they didn't have to depict Mickey Mouse being rude. Like Walt was so precious about Mickey. That's why we didn't see him in like movies or series for as long as we did, is because he wanted that character to like represent and embody all that is like good and pure and innocent. And like, yeah, I guarantee he moved in his grave yesterday.
I can't believe that I have to now, because you've made the reference, explain to the listeners what Rule 34 is. But
Let's hear it.
Rule 34 is, if there is something that you can think of, some, you know, property or some, whatever, anything you can think of, there is adult content out there on the internet somewhere based on it.
That is your Rule 34.
And that is the nicest cleaned up way I can possibly say that. So
we're going dark side. We're going to execute Rule 34 on Disney, is what you're suggesting?
I mean, I have seen people suggest that that's the way to do it. I have to imagine that this deal, that Disney is not naive enough to know, to not know that that's a possibility, I don't think. So I wonder whether there are going to be some safeguards put into ChatGPT or whatever, that it will not allow those characters to be used in that context.
There are.
Yeah, like, you know,
but
this?
But there's also, yes, Julio, I do know there are. Bob Iger was like, we're going to make sure that they're not used to, for propaganda or for sexual content. But I don't believe that.
There's still a lot you can do that's not propaganda or sexual content that would be...
Well, and speaking of propaganda, like, when is the last time that we saw some group of powerful people using artificial intelligence to spread a message? I mean, what's the name of that turtle from Canada? that was being used in AI images of him, like, bombing cartel ships, or like the president of the United States flying over cities and dropping poo all over them. Like, I mean, there's a certain kind of person who really loves this type of content, and it ain't the people who work in creative spaces.
Yeah, and if you want to talk about won't anybody think of the children, you know.
Yeah, right?
This is the time where people are not going to be thinking about the children when they're doing this. It's disturbing on multiple levels, you know, and I'm very disappointed in Disney today. I don't know that I'm at the point where I'm, you know, saying, oh, I'm never going to watch any Disney stuff. I mean, I still love Marvel. I'm still going to go see Doomsday when it comes out. I know I am.
You know? At least bluff, Julio. Yeah. I don't care if you actually stick to your guns or not, but now is the time to bluff. Say, I am boycotting Disney until they do something about this.
I mean, I want to say I'm going to do that, but I'm not there yet.
Damn
just,
you.
Just to be completely honest. I need to see more about what's going to happen with this. I need to see if they're going to back off of it, because they might. There might be such an outcry that they back out of it. And I think there's going to be such an outcry that they're going to have to at least consider it, because if this tanks the stock, they'll back off it real quick.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's where the real power is. And maybe that goes back to what you're saying about maybe, you know, ceasing to spend your money with that company has an effect on the bottom line.
Yep.
But I don't know, man. I know I'm tired.
I'm tired too.
Like, this just the whole thing makes me weary. It's so disappointing and so disheartening that I just want to curl up in a ball and not think about it. And I know that's
this
not
is the kind of crap we'd expect out of David Zaslav.
Yeah, and it's ironically enough, we're gonna end on that here, and we're gonna come back and talk about a bunch of positive things, all of which weirdly have to do with David Zaslav. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. My co-host, Jeremy Branch, is on the line with us. And Jeremy, like I said, let's take things into a happier mode now, because there is a lot of stuff that to be excited about this week. And one of the things I'm most excited about is we got the first teaser trailer for one of my most anticipated movies of next year, Supergirl. Which soundtrack to that great song by Blondie, which weirdly enough was actually originally done for a movie, but that's another story. It was originally done for American Gigolo, if you didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
We finally get our first look at what this film is going to be like. I was going to say we get our first look at Millie Alcock as Supergirl, but that's not true, because of course we got the cameo at the end of Superman. But we get a little bit of a look of what the tone of this movie is going to be, and what some of the visuals are going to look like, and what some of the storyline is going to look like. And I couldn't be happier with this. It's the song is a perfect choice to convey the attitude that that we're looking here. There's also a teaser poster that came out where it's just her silhouetted against the logo, and the tagline is "Truth, Justice, Whatever."
Uh-huh.
It's like, I mean, that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. And you know, you get to get a little bit of the feel for who this character is. There's not a lot of plot here. It's more character heavy and it's more tone heavy. Give me your first reactions, Jeremy.
So twofold. My first reaction is, oh, James Gunn's doing a James Gunn thing again.
But it's not.
Okay. You explain to me how it's not. But
because he's not
also,
directing it.
He
didn't write
it.
I mean, is he a producer? Did he oversee it? Yeah, but he's not. You know, it's not a James Gunn film.
From the use of diegetic music to the way the aliens look to the fact that it's out in space, this feels very much like a Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Oh, there's absolutely a Guardians vibe. I'm not denying that at all. I completely agree with you. I also don't have a problem with that. I have heard some people.
That was my second point. Yeah. Is I always end up liking what James Gunn does.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've never seen a James Gunn movie and been like, oh, that sucked.
But
I always go into it, and even with Superman, I went into it and I was like, oh, God, this looks like they're going to do the James Gunn thing again. And I came out loving it.
Yeah, I just think it's important to point out that, you know, the director is Craig Gillespie. He is a good filmmaker. He's done other films that people have really liked, including I was a big fan of I, Tonya. I know a lot of people like the Cruella movie that he did. He's done some interesting things over the years. So, you know, he's a very capable, creative person in his own right. Do I think Gunn has an influence over this? Of course he does. He's the head of the studio.
Right.
You know, but you know, he didn't write it. He didn't direct it. It is part of the James Gunn universe, but it is not a James Gunn film. Does it feel like a James?
Akin to what's happening with Kevin Feige over at Marvel, and it's good to have a cohesive theme and storyline, or vibe throughout all of it.
Yes.
And you know, I'm a huge fan of Millie Alcock in House of the Dragon, so I'm excited about it.
That I think is the biggest strength. I think that this was really great casting. I think she's a fantastic actress. And just the little bit that we get to see of her in this trailer just has me really convinced. You know, that and the cameo that we had. I know it came down to her and another actress whose name has gone out of my head right now, but she actually weirdly is among the things that she's best known for is for having voiced Supergirl in a series of animated films. So she had experience playing the character, but this is a slightly different version of the character too.
Did you read Woman of Tomorrow?
I haven't read it, but I am familiar with what the story is. It's basically,
I hear it's a good run.
It is. It's very, very acclaimed. And I actually met the author a few months ago at a convention.
Oh, cool.
And had a chance to talk to him a little bit about his excitement for this. And he's also written, among many other things he's written, I have read a lot of his comic books. He wrote a Mr. Miracle limited series that is also being turned into an animated series through DC Films and James Gunn's studio. And he's actually going to be writing the entire series, the entire animated series. So,
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's a lot of fun. He's kind of part of there's not a writer's room per se for the DC universe, but if there was, he's part of it. He's part of like the creative brain trust that Gunn is leaning on for all of this stuff. So
another thing that jumped out to me in this trailer is the fact that we got a quick little snippet of Lobo played by Jason Momoa, which I think is both cool, and I'm excited to see him play that character because he seems to really love him.
Very quick snippet of him, very shadowy, but he certainly looks good in the role. I have no doubt it's the role Momoa was born to play.
It seems like it.
You know, I have no doubt Momoa is going to be great in this. The story is basically True Grit in space.
Explain that.
So if you've seen any of the previous movie versions of True Grit, or you've read the novel, True Grit is about a young girl, really, who seeks revenge on her, on the killer, her father's killer, and goes out to hire a mercenary. In this case, in the case of True Grit, it's a marshal, because the marshals were basically mercenaries in that time, although they had some legal standing behind them, to lead her out to arrest and or kill this person that killed her father.
And who that, is the mercenary in this?
It's Supergirl.
The girl that's in the trailer is the one that got her to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Supergirl will be the Rooster Cogburn character here.
Ah, cool.
Yeah. So I mean, it's not a one to one. Obviously, it's not just a straight ripoff. There's certainly more to it here. But that, you know, Tom King himself has said he was very inspired by True Grit in writing this story. So I think you pick some of that up from watching this trailer, but I'm not sure how much of that you get, but that's the road we're going down. So, you know, it's a little bit of a time-worn story, but kind of not really, because I wouldn't say that True Grit has been done so much that it's cliche.
No, I agree.
I mean, there have been two movies of it, but there haven't been a lot of other movies that just kind of took that, did a pastiche on it, and there certainly hasn't been one in space. There's certainly a track record of Westerns being done in space as science fiction or superheroes or whatever, but not this particular story. So I am looking forward to it. Obviously, I'm an easy mark for this stuff. I grew up a DC kid. I'm like in the process of getting a full sleeve tattoo of DC characters on my arm right now. I you know, pretty much you tell me James Gunn is doing something DC and I just say, shut up and take my money. But I have a really good feeling about this, because I still do have a critical eye, and I can look at something and be like, yeah, I don't know about that, or yeah, that's not for me, or, you know. And, you know, there have been DC movies that have come in the past that, and in fairness, not anything James Gunn has been involved in, but, you know, there have been other ones where I've been like, really? That's what we're doing. And there have even been a couple that I haven't seen. I never got around to seeing Jonah Hex. I never got around to seeing...
Is there a world where this movie ends up being more important to the future of DC than Superman was?
I think it could. I think it could. Just I think
if this proves a record, if it does well.
If it does well, and if it bombs, it kind of can say, well, the support's there for the major characters, but the lesser characters, nobody cares
right.
about.
Good point.
Which was the, you know, kind of the difference between Marvel succeeding and failing, to be completely honest. It was very much when Marvel was starting out, oh, well, all your good characters are already licensed out to Fox and Sony. You have the D-listers. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to go see an Iron Man movie.
Right.
And I mean, that was very much the attitude until it came out and it was amazing and everybody fell in love with it. And then, you know, you want to go back to Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy weren't even well known enough to be D-list.
No.
I mean, you know, they were, you know, literally, let's put it this way. You know how in Orlando you've got the Universal Islands of Adventure, and that's the reason Disney can't have Marvel Cinematic Studios characters at Disney World, because they've licensed those characters in perpetuity to Universal for a theme park?
Uh-huh.
The reason they can still do a Guardians of the Galaxy ride is because the Guardians were so D-list that Universal didn't include them in the agreement.
They literally
licensed hundreds of characters and not those characters.
That worked out good for Disney.
Yeah, so that's why we're still getting a Guardians of the Galaxy ride at Epcot Center.
Great ride.
But yeah, so yeah, I'm very excited for this one. Can't wait to see more, and looking forward to talking about this as it comes along. Going to take a break. Listen to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Just
Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got my co-host, Jeremy Branch, on the line with us. And as I said, we're going to keep the end of the show positive. And I think a good way to do that is to talk about just this weekend. We've had the drop of the overall HBO trailer, for lack of a better term. HBO does this thing every so often where they do kind of like a sizzle reel of everything they've got coming up. And they just released one for 2026 that went pretty hard, I think it's fair to say, on Euphoria, which I think a lot of people are excited about that finally coming back, because it's been, you know, as much as people want to complain about Stranger Things and the kids aging up in Stranger Things and all that, hello? This is a show that started with kids in high school too, and like everybody in that show is like 28 now.
Yeah, but they were like 28 when they started the show.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, but whatever. Yeah, I gotta say, I haven't watched the show, so it isn't something that resonates completely with me, other than just being broadly very, very impressed by the way that that show has been a star maker more than like any other recent show that I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about, I'm just going to rattle off some cast members here that, keeping in mind that when the show started, they were either unknown or not very well known, or were only known for like Nickelodeon, Disney Channel kind of stuff, that kind of thing. Zendaya, first of all, the lead, one of the biggest stars in the world now. But at the time she'd been, you know, I think had the first Spider-Man already come out or was about to come out. Right around the same time.
Oh, I don't know.
I want to say that it was right around the same time, because let's see, the show started in started in 2019.
And Spider-Man Homecoming was 2017.
Yeah, okay, so pretty close. She'd been in that already, but she had, you know, that was like her first breakout of being a Disney Channel star.
Mm-hmm.
So then you've got Maude Apatow, daughter of Judd Apatow, who's been a well-known actress in a lot of stuff since then. Has also been a lot of writing and directing herself. Jacob Elordi, who is in pretty much everything now, is just in Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein, Saltburn, Priscilla, become a very well-known, very hot commodity. Storm Reid just won an Emmy Award for The Last of Us last year. And has also been in a number of well-received movies, very well-known actor. Hunter Schafer, also, again, very well-known. Coleman Domingo has become quite a star since this. I mean, as somebody who's been around for a little while, but this was kind of a star-making role for him. And then, you know, you can't, you know, throw a rock without running into Sydney Sweeney.
No, she has transcended.
Pretty much like the most omnipresent person on the face of the planet, save for maybe Taylor Swift and the president.
Mm-hmm.
And even Taylor's been a little more low profile lately. So
yeah, it's interesting, right?
Yeah. So I mean, think about, again, you know, talking about 2019. So we're talking about 6 years ago. Most of these people were not household names, and I think the lion's share of the ones I just mentioned are probably household names are pretty darn close to it now. So I know there's a lot of excitement about that show coming back, and it's weird because, again, you know, there's only been 18 episodes of that show so far in 6 years. So again, you talk about Stranger Things taking forever and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's some
with
pots
Stranger
and kettles.
Things, they have VFX and stuff, to be fair. So like I can get it a little bit more with them. I guess everybody's schedules probably got real busy at Euphoria. Yeah.
Stranger Things did more than 18 episodes in the last 6 years, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that they went real heavy on Euphoria because, like I said, they've got a lot of big stars in that, and a lot of people are excited about that coming back. For me, there was some other stuff that I was a little more excited about that in the course of the role. And I also, something Jeremy and I were talking about off screen is we're in such a period of peak entertainment that even for guys like us that are somewhat of experts in the entertainment field, for lack of a better term.
Some may say savants.
Would they? At any rate, like there's like a couple of times there's like, that's on season 2 or 3 already. Like, didn't that just come out? Or, you know, what is that now? I've barely heard of that. So, and you know, some of it, you know, is coasting on, okay, this is a new miniseries that's going to come out and it stars Steve Carell and David Harbour. I may not have heard of it before, but the stars sell that, you know, that, mm-hmm. you know, there's that kind of thing. But like The Comeback was on there. It's like, I thought The Comeback ended forever ago.
Gilded Age is apparently something that people watch.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, again, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm aware of it, and I know it's been uh-huh. very acclaimed, et cetera, et cetera. But the things that I think that, I don't know if you're excited about the same things that I'm excited about, Jeremy, but I'm assuming you are, and I'm assuming they're not going to come as a great surprise to people to listen to that show regularly.
No.
Obviously, Lanterns is the biggest thing for me.
Okay.
I am a massive Green Lantern fan. Green Lantern, Hal Jordan Green Lantern, is my favorite comics character of all time. So I don't hate the Ryan Reynolds movie. I know a lot of people do. I don't. But it's still not quite right, I think it's fair to say. I think it's mm-hmm. a solid C+, B- movie. I do think they got Hal pretty right. And I liked Ryan Reynolds' Hal. There's other stuff that I have problems with in the movie. But I've been waiting for a good, solid, live-action version of the Green Lantern mythos for a long, long time. Basically my entire life.
We get about 10 seconds of trailer if you add it all up in this. What did you glean from it?
I like Kyle Chandler as Hal a lot. He's an older okay. Hal, which works for what they're doing here. They're doing a buddy cop thing where he's the older seasoned veteran and John Stewart is the younger trainee guy, which I think works. I think that, mm-hmm. you know, the Green Lantern Corps are kind of a police force. I'm down for a buddy cop thing. And they're doing like kind of a True Detective vibe to that. I would have liked to have seen some effects.
Sure. Get some idea about what these powers are, because they're like a pretty big scale.
Yeah, you don't actually see anybody use the ring. In fact, you see Hal take off the ring and jump out of a moving car, which is mm-hmm. which is a very Hal thing to do. So that's promising. But yeah, good feeling. Not enough of a feeling to know where we're going, but good feeling. And then I don't know if you have any excitement about that, Jeremy, but that for me is
very much looking forward to it.
Okay. Yeah.
For you though, like you, if Lanterns is what you're most excited about, I think for me, it's going to be A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
Oh, so even more than House of the Dragon season 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we got both. We got dueling Game of Thrones series coming up.
Kind of crazy to think about. If it were me and I were running Warner Brothers or HBO,
or Paramount or Netflix or who knows who it'll be. Paramount, Netflix, you know.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, Walmart for all we know.
This is a good point. I feel like, though, because there is such a long period in between seasons, it would have behooved him to keep the interest up by maybe holding off on one or the other until 2027, because we're still going to have the same amount of years in between. However, I've seen House of the Dragon, 2 seasons of it. I think it's good. It definitely stumbles at times, but I'm excited to see another time in Westeros history, a different kind of take on it that's not so dynasty heavy and not so featured on these royal houses, but on just a lowly hedge knight who is looking after Aegon Targaryen. I think that has a lot of potential to be a good time. And so for me right now, I'm most excited about A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
I mean, I love this world, and I think I'm maybe a little, I think we both like House of the Dragon, but I think I'm a little more mm-hmm. upbeat on it than you are.
Yeah.
For me, the excitement is more about getting back to that story because I'm very absorbed in that story. I would like to, if it's going to continue to be a 2-year production cycle for both of them, I would like to see, I would agree with you about maybe doing them in opposing years, mm-hmm. but maybe the production cycle is farther ahead on Knight of the Seven Kingdoms than we think it is, you know.
It's a good point.
With it being the first season, maybe they charged right into 2 seasons at the start or something like that, and they're planning to get us there. I don't see them running at the same time. I think they'll run at different times of the year. And they have not released any kind of release dates for any of this stuff yet. So we don't know exactly when any of this stuff is going to hit the screen yet.
It's going to be a big year, though.
I think we have heard Lanterns is going to be kind of springish. I don't know if it's coming out before Supergirl. I think it might be. But I'd have to double check on that. My feeling is if they're going to stick to the normal time period that we get House of the Dragon, which is usually late summer, early fall, that maybe we get Knight of the Seven Kingdoms early in the year. Maybe we get it February, March. But I feel like
that would be cool.
I feel like they would have announced the premiere date already if that were the case. So
yeah,
I don't know. Was there anything else that caught your eye in the trailer, Jeremy?
I feel like I need to check out Pitt. I hear a lot of really good things about it. I'm not one that always loves hospital shows, but mm-hmm. I do hear this is a really good one.
Yeah, multiple Emmy nominations. Very well received. And I think the thing for a lot of people on this was seeing Noah Wiley back in a hospital show, which I don't have. I don't have the nostalgia for ER that some people have. So
no.
But anyway, we've got next week. We'll be back with our Christmas show. Until then, you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.